Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Oh, I'll take a breath and just thank you all again for being here, my wonderful, wonderful audience. We're going to have a great time today with someone that Ginger has known for a while. I'm just getting to know Sophia Karstens, and she works closely with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK, or Bobby. And this is going to be a delight. Maybe we'll learn new things about Robert Kennedy. I haven't asked her that. And it's about his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, which is a book which I do something authors don't generally do in my writing and speaking, which is to say, in addition to our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, The Real Anthony Fauci. And if that doesn't fill you up with enough truth, my gosh, you're insatiable. So, and people are insatiable. So we'll be writing some more too. When we return, listen, by the way, this is refounding America and reclaiming ourselves. And we're on the Brighteon.com and Brighteon TV in particular, and on Roku, it's Real TV and Real Radio on PRN.live. Hi, folks. Welcome back, good people. You're looking at Sophia Karstens. She is in an amazing position. She's an activist, but in particular, she works closely with Robert F. Kennedy and also very closely with Tony Lyons, of whom I've also had some contact with, who is the owner, editor-in-chief, and boss at Skyhorse Publishing, which publishes a lot of really good books in addition to The Real Anthony Fauci, which has sold over 1 million copies on that publisher's platform. It's just amazing. And let's see, Judy Mikovits, our friend Mikovits, depending on what country you're in. Skyhorse publishes her book and others that we deeply, deeply appreciate. And Sophia apparently just collaborates on both ends in this new world we're in. She works with Bobby, she works with Tony Lyons, and right now she's at the Children's Health Defense chapter in California. Is that right?
Sort of. I collaborate with whomever is working on the front lines at the time. So we unfortunately lost my cohort for this interview. Usually it's Tony and myself. So Tony and I work really closely together on a couple different projects. And this book that Bobby Kennedy wrote was the inception of our consortium.
Well, it's an amazing book to read. The Real Anthony Fauci is an amazing book. And I was saying to Sophia that if you read our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators, and you read The Real Anthony Fauci, well, you'll be ahead of, 99.9999% of the rest of the folks.
At least.
Some huge number that I'm not really good at figuring out.
There's Google a whole Plex lot of information.
It's a tremendous amount of information in both books. And it's so interesting because the two of us have the same vision, basically. And yet when you read the books, it's the distinctly different and in themselves interesting books. I had been studying a lot about Anthony Fauci, and there was so much more in the one book focusing on him. It just blew me away. And Bobby was kind enough, so generous, when our book was coming out just a little bit before his release, basically simultaneously, he talked about how our book was the, he endorsed it as the real looking at the criminal conspiracy. So this is a generous, generous man to have done that. And now I'll try not to mention my book anymore and focus on the real Anthony Fauci and on Sophia Karstens. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, you know, your guys' book has been really useful, I think, to a lot of people who were maybe resistant to first delving into the narrative. So I wouldn't stop talking about it if I were you.
Okay. Well, where would you like to start with this interesting relationships you have, with this work you're doing, with the book?
Well, I think
any area you want to go into.
I think it's a really good time to reorganize a movement towards information, especially with a lot in light of new information that's coming down. So, I mean, Bobby's book, so I have it, I can hold it up here, it is called The Real Anthony Fauci, was rolled out last November, so almost a year ago, and it very quickly sold over 1 million copies. It was the best-selling book in America, New York Times bestseller, Wall Street Journal bestseller, USA Today bestseller, and others. It was also the most censored book in America, best-selling and most censored book in America. So usually those two things are mutually exclusive, but I think that is a really good indicator that it doesn't matter that a lot of Americans were being told, and there are a multi-tiered coordination of censorship that occurs, and we can get into that, but even despite a total media blackout, despite them screwing around with the numbers, despite them flat out refusing to carry advertisements for the book, despite so many other bad tricks, dirty tricks that they played, still the book has sold well over 1 million copies. And I think that is indicative of where this country is right now. So I think, you know, the more people that can read this book, the better. And I do think that there is a tipping point. I don't know where that is, but there is a tipping point where if enough Americans read this book, it is over for them, because there is so much information and detail. This book goes back 5 decades. It goes into the architecture and the architects of exactly where we're standing right now. I think that there's been a lot of resistance to, I think it's hard for people to really wrap their heads around how complex this monster is. And I think there's resistance to it because it's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable truth. It's pretty bleak. It's pretty depressing. It means it's going to require sacrifice. I think it's overwhelming. People want something that fits in a meme. You know, they want something that fits in a soundbite. And the real information is far more complex and sinister, unfortunately, than what people would like in their happy, comfortable little worlds. But I think pulling out of that and being ready to confront the reality in which we are all standing. You know, I have people that say to me a lot, with all the censorship and everything that's going on, well, we need to prevent the country from falling into fascism. I hate to tell you guys, but we're already there. And, you know, we have a government, a president who stood up in front of millions of people and said, I'm working with big tech to censor civilians. So not only is that the definition of a First Amendment violation, but that is also the definition of fascism. We have a government working with corporations to manipulate and control civilians. So I think that we are standing at the precipice, and we might even have a foot off that cliff already. But I think that the more people who can read this book and gain an understanding and have some fortitude, I think we can push back this tide. But it does require ripping off the Band-Aid, the scales falling from the eyes, and saying, okay, we're here. We get it. We've been asleep at the wheel for a really long time. But now we are here. Let's take a hold of the wheel and let's redirect this ship. And it's not going to happen overnight. But we have to be aware that it's happening. The first step in fixing any problem is identifying that there is one.
Yeah, I think it's the book is a perfect antidote to a lot of people's difficulties in accepting reality. Mm-hmm. You know, there are always folks that are saying conspiracy theory, which is actually a progressive way of dismissing attacks on the elite that goes all the way back to the Civil War when the New York Times declared that anybody who thought that the British elite wanted the South to win were conspiracy theorists, that there was no elite in Great Britain who wanted the South to win.
Well, it's a weaponized term, of course, but if we just break down the semantics of that particular phrase, I know we've all witnessed corruption at small levels, if nothing else, and corruption, when it becomes systemic at a large level, requires the collusion of individuals to further that corruption, which by definition is called a conspiracy. So you can call it a conspiracy theory or not, but by definition, that is what corruption, systemic corruption at a large level requires conspiracy. That's what
it is conspiracy.
We can have that in the weeds argument, but that is what we're looking at. And I mean, we've all encountered that resistance, you know, even especially during the pandemic. You know, how many times did you try to bring it up with someone and they're like, I can't hear this. It's too much. Yeah. So what I've found is with this book, handing this book to people who have previously been resistant, and I call them the lost contingent, but the lost contingent, handing this book to the lost contingent and saying, listen, I don't want to get into the weeds of an argument because it goes off the rails so fast. It goes, you know, it becomes just an insane argument about straw men at a certain point. So I've found that if I hand them this book and I just say, listen, please read this, and let's talk when you're done. About day three, I get a call, and even from the lost contingent, sometimes, not all of them, some of them are really truly lost, but I do get that call with, oh my God, I had no idea. I had no idea. Is this true? I had no idea. And there is so much information in here, and it doesn't go down the conspiracy theory train. And I think that's been a difficult battle that those of us in the sphere of trying to illuminate the truth of the real, very real corruption and financial entanglements that exists, have run into. In that, I always say I spend the first half of my day fighting the opposition and the second half of my day fighting our own people, because there is a tendency to take the dots that are right in front of us and try to connect them into a unicorn and jump down 25 rabbit holes. And unfortunately, that dilutes the very real threats that we face. And these are threats. They're threats to our freedoms, our democracy. They're threats to our sovereignty and our very way of life, and or the illusion of that way of life at the very least. I do think that it is useful when I've come up against that tendency to sort of skip straight to crazy, to also say, listen, you guys, the dots we have in front of us are actually bad enough. It's bad enough. You don't need to skip down the rabbit hole. You don't need to skip to crazy. What we have in front of us is bad enough. And if we lay out those facts and we discourage losing half the regiment to crazy pants, it's bad enough. And we actually can win on that, provided that we don't lose half the regiment. And I think that's another way that this book is incredibly useful. It is that we have 2,194 citations in this book. There is nothing speculative. Everything is documented. We had every single piece of information vetted by doctors and lawyers and extremely qualified, serious people. And also don't forget, Bobby Kennedy is an attorney. And he not only looks at everything as an attorney of how could this be an exposure. So if there were an exposure, he would have been sued. And at the very least, they would have come at him with a better argument, which no one has done, including Anthony Fauci himself. But he's also an attorney in the way that he thinks. And he lays out the information in this book as it were in a courtroom. And it is logical. It is rational. There is nothing peppered in there. There is no speculation peppered in there with people's intentions and crazy theories, whether they turn out to be crazy or not. Right now, there's a lot of theory. And this book doesn't get into theories. It goes back, as I said, 5 decades to the architecture, to the architects. It gives specific examples. It gives specific interviews with individuals who were there. It gives references 2,194 times. So it is useful when you have the crazy contingent. Again, whether or not they turn out to be crazy is a different conversation, but we don't have that evidence right now. That is not substantiated. So what this book is substantiated evidence of the dots we have right in front of us. And it not only brings the people who are maybe resistant to hearing this to the table, but it also brings kind of the Looney Tunes contingent a little back to center. If we can just focus on the facts that we have in front of us, those facts really are bad enough for us to be able to affect change and to do something about this and to do something about what's happening to our country, and hopefully start to steer this ship in a different direction. And that's not to say we're going to do a 180. That's not how it works. But if you can change the degree even slightly in your instruments, you're going to end up on a different continent. So that's the idea for this, is we're all just part of this, steering this grand ship. And if we can start to affect change in our country that gives people back their right to, their absolute right to information, proper information, without informed, it is not consent. If we can start to redirect our structures to be situated in a way that actually protects the people instead of protecting these financial entanglements and this moneyed interest and this bottom line and this return on investment culture, and it is a culture, and it is systemic, then we have a shot at preserving our individuality and our sovereign rights and our autonomy.
One of the things that the book does very well is it shows that what Anthony Fauci was doing during COVID was a repetition, a warm-up of the warm-up that he did with HIV, with AIDS.
And other pandemics. As it turns out, these guys are kind of a one-trick pony, and they've executed the same model more than once. It's the military-industrial complex model. It's the CIA model. It works just as well enslaving our own people as it does other countries. But it works, and it's been effective in the past, and they're repurposing. It's, in some cases, it's even the same corporations. It's even the same drug companies, Gilead. You know, a lot of these people, it's a very incestuous party going on.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people are repeat characters who pop up in Act 1, 2, and 3. Jeremy Farrar and the Wellcome Trust. You know, a lot of these individuals have been in bed together for a very long time. People from an older generation, my generation and older, will remember that GlaxoSmithKline used to be Glaxo Wellcome. There are entanglements that go back literally decades. There is concrete that has been poured on confirmation bias for decades using the fourth branch of government, our media. And there is also a, I call it tracks that have been laid for decades that seemingly unrelated things may not be related, but sometimes they are. And you may not realize that some act was passed here, or some act was repealed over here, or some act was modified over here, or some law was passed over there. And you may not know how that's related to the bigger picture, but now that we stand here, and oh, conveniently we have no liability, and conveniently we have no checks and balances, now we see how all those things were actually related.
There really is a global governance that moves into any catastrophe or creates any catastrophe, whether it's a war or a pandemic or threatening people with climate change, that involves a lot of the same actors. And in a sense, so I think what your book and our book both were looking at is this development now of this not military industrial complex, but a health industrial complex. And it's,
yeah, I call it the medical industrial complex.
Medical industrial complex. And it, yeah, and it's really a medical scientific industrial complex. And then it's really also part of the military industrial complex. And
right,
it all mushrooms out into what is actually a new world order. Literally, it's a new governance of the world that takes place by people meeting outside of government circles, but bringing in government, bringing in industry, bringing in your private philanthropic groups, like you mentioned, Wellcome Trust. And it is a governance of the world that is now on the attack, because we, as the United States of America, are actually the last bastion of defense against the world governance. Does this meet with your understanding as well, Sophia?
It meets with a potential suspicion. I can't climb inside any individual's head and determine their degree of personality disorder. So I don't know if there's any one person waking up and twirling their mustache in the mirror every morning. But what I do know is that a couple of things are true. One, we do have a system that is greater than the sum of its parts, and it is far more powerful than any one individual in it. So when you look at, for example, polluting companies, the structure, a CEO of a polluting company would immediately be sued by his shareholders if he were to make a different decision. So we're looking at a system that creates, incentivizes bad behavior and doesn't incentivize good behavior, but also where there is a system of a closed loop, of a snake eating its tail, where there isn't really the possibility of any other decision being made. So it's a shareholder or stakeholder situation. And I do think, you know, we can get rid of the Tony Faucis and all of these bad actors. You know, we can get rid of the Desigs and the Walensky's and the Offits, and we can get rid of all of these people, but we really are cutting off the head of the Hydra. Because what you have when you have a corrupt system, there's always going to be an individual with moral elasticity who's willing to come in and exploit
Absolutely.
That corrupt
We have to go to break now, and maybe we can keep looking at the Hydra itself or in any direction you'd like to go. We'll take a break now. But we're back with Sophia Karstens, who's an activist, and she works with Robert F. Kennedy. You probably all know who he is, and he has this million bestseller, The Real Anthony Fauci, which is a must book for understanding freedom and its enemies. And she works with Tony Fauci, who was the publisher of Bobby's book. And
Tony Lyons. Let's not confuse him with Tony Fauci.
Oh my God, did I say Fauci? God forgive me.
I definitely didn't work with Tony Fauci.
Oh my God, that's not having my wife by my side and going, not Fauci, not Fauci.
It's tough. Too many Tonys.
Yes, too many Tonys. thank you for, I have no idea, it said Fauci. And Tony Lyons, who I have some acquaintanceship with. Well, let's just continue with talking about this wonderful book and what you do, too. Maybe more about yourself and what you do.
Well, what I was saying right before we took the break about our sort of where we're headed with this, and I don't disagree with you. I'm careful to not identify someone's intention because I have no evidence of what's inside their head. But I can say that if we look at the facts that are right in front of us, we have over the last few years had our rights systematically removed constitutionally and our Bill of Rights. They have, without any due process or compensation, they have closed businesses. They did not go through any of the proper processes for any of this. We have liquor stores that remained open and churches that were forced to be closed. Again, that is liquor. I have no issue with liquor stores, but liquor stores are not in the Constitution and churches are. There has been a systematic removal of our sovereign rights over the course of this. And again, I can't climb inside someone's head and say, well, this is what they're trying to do. What I can do is look at that swath of our laws in this. We're also not enforcing things like laws in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the way that the courts are responding to things or not responding to things and everything else. And I say, okay, it doesn't matter what their intention is. What matters is what's happening. And what's happening, there's no good road. Whatever that road is, wherever that road leads, it isn't good. So the fight right now really is to stand up, not comply anymore. There were a number of people during this who were fine to turn their heads while their neighbors were dragged away. And I don't subscribe to that, but I try to be compassionate and understand why everybody has their reason why that was the choice. But we are now past that. We're past that landmark. There is no more time to say, well, I just want to put my head down and wait for things to go back to normal. That's not the way this goes.
We're really 100% with you on that. Ginger and I have been recommending to America at this point that we start really standing up for the right to assembly, because people have been so terrorized, they're now afraid to stand up and assemble because a year later they might have FBI breaking down their doors. But we have to assert that right, and we're urging to people that they hold in their own communities, wherever they are, peaceful assemblies for freedom. Give them all the same name, because that will tie them together. We're not going to lead this. There are going to be no leaders of it that I want particularly. But I want people to spontaneously rise up peacefully and using the assertion that this is peaceful assembly. That's the right in the Constitution. Peaceful assemblies for freedom. And we very, very much hope that people will do that. And another thing we're also doing is putting out freedom flyers. You can get them on our website, Bregan.com. It's sponsored by one of the platforms we're on that we love very, very much, Out Loud, America Out Loud. We're not taking names or keeping names. We're just making available for free the flyers. And the first flyer is a simple introduction to globalism. You can hand it out to your friends. You can get back to old-fashioned communicating, as was done a great deal during the revolution, before we had all these social media that people could then, undermine us with after getting us involved with it. And this is off the front of the website, Freedom Flyers. You'll find it really easily. So we need a grassroots movement, and then we need the good books like The Real Anthony Fauci to help people who maybe aren't going to read deeply into a book. But you could spend 10 minutes on The Real Anthony Fauci, literally pick it up like you would the Bible.
Yeah.
Read 10 minutes and you're going to say to yourself, oh my God, this is reality.
Agreed. And what's interesting is what you were saying earlier about the bigger picture. It is important that is illuminated for people, because it isn't just vaccine good, vaccine bad. It isn't just, these are, sorry to say it, but tiny little components in a way, way bigger picture. The idea that we have choice, free choice in this country, is becoming an illusion. And when you follow the money and you follow the moneyed interest, you learn that even the idea that we have different platforms to express different views is an illusion. And all roads lead back to the moneyed interest and our three-letter agencies usually. And it really becomes scary when you, and this is not, again, conspiracy theory, this is conspiracy, certainly, but when you start to look at that bigger picture and you start to see how this web, and it is a web, is created, and we've been looking at this one little area, but this is a huge, huge web. And then you can start to identify individuals on the web. And that's great. Like I said, mm-hmm. We need to remove those individuals.
Yeah.
We also need to restructure that web. Because right now, I think the scary thing for people is standing right on that fence of just almost realizing how sinister this is. And how dangerous this is. We're talking right now in terms of the censorship and in terms of the information, misinformation campaign. We're not talking about censoring explicit rap lyrics. Mm-hmm. We're talking about censoring information that individuals need to make decisions for their life, for their health. What's happening create this inaccessibility?
You're saying so many good things. I hate to interrupt, but I wanted to just remind people that the censorship that's going on is all of it under the rubric of globalism. And in the United States, that's attached to progressivism. Someplace right now, but if we get a different regime in, like the Bushes, it'll be attached to fascism. It's just whatever name you give for this connection between the power centers in the government and in industry and bringing them all together. But something I find really helps people understand that conspiracy is real is, first of all, we have criminal conspiracy laws.
Right.
Is that a fakery? That's what the mafia has gotten under. And we, in fact, have an international global mafia in effect.
And it's interesting to note, that's a really important point. And worse, you can go further down that rabbit hole. And not only do we have those laws preventing racketeering. Not only do we have RICO laws, but it has since been put into law that you cannot go after a government agency or a government agent under RICO. That should alarm every American. So we have these laws, but they don't apply to government.
Right.
So yeah, the government is endorsing that sanctioned racketeering.
Exactly. And, you know, we also have, just to continue with the obviousness of the reality of conspiracy laws, the antitrust laws are defined
antitrust laws. And that is probably how fraud and antitrust is how we will get them.
And then there's the Nuremberg Code. And the Nuremberg Code mentions, you know, individual crimes, about four. And then it says they all wrap into a, quote, common conspiracy. And I think one of the main reasons you hear there are no grand conspiracies and things like that is because, in fact, the conspiracy is the route to bringing these people to justice, whether you're looking at the lower level Faucis or whether you're looking at the really top level people in banking and industry.
Well, you have to consider your source always, too, right? Because what's happening, these aren't the droids you're looking for. So if you have one group of individuals, let's say individuals or entities, we'll call them entities, who have everything to gain and are financially reaping the rewards from these decisions. Tony Fauci's net worth, I think, grew by 13 million and his wife was 5 million during the pandemic. And that's just one individual. That's forgetting about Gates Foundation, any of these other entities.
Yeah, the people who are working in billions rather than millions.
So when we look at these people who are, you know, who have all the power, but not a better argument, they just have all the power to censor that argument, and they're telling you that that's misinformation. And then you have someone like Bobby Kennedy, who has nothing to gain, who has everything to lose, and in fact has lost, who has stood up at his peril repeatedly, repeatedly to bring this truth. But instead, you're going to ask the wolf where to keep the sheep safe for the night? Why? Why are you, who are you listening to and why? That makes no sense. And that's the other weird thing about the PSYOP that I've found. And it's just like psychological thing that I can't, like I said, climb inside someone's head, but it's interesting to me to watch these, as you said, progressives, but my new name for them is aggressive progressives, but the aggressive progressives, we have passive aggressives and we have aggressive progressives. It's interesting to me how these are the individuals who have historically carried the torch for so long. You've heard them for 3 decades say the pharma is the big bad wolf, those big corporations, the evil pharmaceutical, our government is a wholly owned subsidiary of the pharmaceutical industry. Yes, you got that right. So now this happens and those same people turned around and went, but I'm sure this is fine. What?
You know, Ginger and I and myself even earlier, we were taking on the pharmaceutical industry for a long time. And in fact, the cahootness, the inward connections between the pharmaceutical industry and all people in power, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, was so strong in 1994 that they could cancel us way back then. From I was on every major TV show in the world, literally.
Sure.
And we got canceled out by the pharmaceutical industry.
Absolutely, you did.
And then you go back further.
And you're not the only one.
Right. And then you go further back and you find that these ties are not just pharmaceutical industries. That's what we learned looking at COVID-19.
Right. It's whatever
these
the
are worldwide governances.
Yeah. And then you can even get into the, you know, the big banking systems and the financing, ABN AMRO. You can start to, and the predecessors. And I am calling them predecessors, not precursors. But you can look into the funding, for example, the Dutch bank that was funding Nazi Germany. And then you start to follow.
We had American banks and companies that were funding Hitler's arms buildup.
Sure, but if you start to follow the Dutch bank and you start to follow where they are now and what organizations they're still aligned with, again, it's not a smoking gun. It's circumstantial. But they are dots.
No, no, wait. No, no, I don't agree with you about what you keep suggesting. No, no, these are direct ties. There is direct, this Anthony Fauci's ties. They are absolutely clear that there were funding from American corporations. We know who they were. They know the men who did it for Hitler's buildup and also for Stalin's buildup and also for Mao's buildup.
We're talking about two different things, but yes, I don't disagree with you. What I'm suggesting is that we don't have any evidence of their intention. What we do have evidence for is their financial entanglements, and those exist, and they are provable and look upable. So if you start to go down that rabbit hole and you start to go all the way up to the apex of that pyramid and you start to find those financial entanglements and who has what to gain, and had, as I said, the architecture for 5 decades, longer than that. Listen, Eisenhower said it, beware the military-industrial complex. But certainly for the last 5 decades, we have the architecture that has been built. And those ties, as you just said, are absolutely look-upable, provable.
Good books about them.
Yes.
We're trying to draw together in a kind of, or Ginger and I have a real overview of what is going on here. And we'll be writing
about
that
book,
more.
There's a great book by a guy called John Perkins called Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yeah,
it's tough sometimes. I've had my still refusal to come over to the dark side, progressive friends who are like, I don't understand why you had me read this book. And I'm like, really? You can't transfer information? Like, it's like, stupid. I mean, I understand why people are like, okay, but take that model and apply it to what's happening right now. But it's a really great layout of our three-letter agencies' entanglements in these corporations and in the, not only inception, but in the building of, it's the empire building. It's the building of these corporations.
That's right, empire building.
The goalposts, the scaffolding that has been put in place by the very people who have everything to lose if that scaffolding isn't in place. And then they push it off onto the excuse that it's for public health or it's to protect the people. It's no such thing. We have health agencies that are funded by the very industry they are charged with regulating. How on earth does that protect the people? So if you start to pull on this thread and unravel that sweater, it really does go back to these inception points of these financial entanglements and these relationships. And there is, as you just said, there is no questioning. There's that, it's just, that's there. It's a matter of whether you have the fortitude to accept that that is a fact and we've been asleep since then and now we need to not be asleep anymore because otherwise we are just going to fall right off that cliff. It's 0 hour. It really is 0 hour. And
yes,
it's unfortunate that that's where we are, but that's where we are. And to deny it is at our peril.
I'm with you 100%. Folks, we have to stand up now. We absolutely have to do everything our power as individuals, as groups. We have to support the people like Bobby
Kennedy.
You
have to read books like the real Anthony Fauci.
Absolutely.
And like your guys' book. You guys wrote a really wonderful book that in swallowable bites for people. I think people sometimes have a hard time with some of the big information in some of the other publications that are out there. And what you guys did that's really great is it's manageable and it's swallowable for people. So
COVID-19 and the global predators, which by the way, folks, you can buy directly from us on wearethepray.com. Go to wearethepray.com and without any fancy footwork, you can get the lowest price I think that's available for new books on wearethepray.com. And again, it's the two books together just make a tremendous package. And We endorsed Bobby's book, and he's been generous in endorsing our book. And
it's information, and that is what is power right now. Information is power more than any revolution, more than any uprising. Information right now is, you know, who was the philosopher who said once they burn books, it's over. There's a reason the First Amendment is the first.
Yeah. And we have 2 minutes left. Tell people more about where you can be contacted or Bobby can be contacted. And
I highly recommend going to, I am not affiliated myself under the umbrella of any particular organization. I just kind of, like I said, I work with whomever and wherever I'm needed at any given time. But I do highly recommend going to the Children's Health Defense California chapter website. And sign up for the weekly newsletter. If you live in California, which I do, California is the beta test state. Mm-hmm. And we have so many bad bills right now. We're able to stand up and push back and defeat SB 2866, but we were unable to defeat AB 2098, which now we have the One True Opinion Bill, which was pushed through. We've got 10 more coming in January that are really bad. So we have all of these efforts happening in California. It's in the universities. It's in the schools. They are after the kids, make no mistake. So, and that's a whole other conversation for a whole other
getting directly in touch with you.
I'm on social media. You can find me. I'm Sophia J. Karstens. And I'm on, I'm available, you know, on any of those platforms. I'm easily findable. But definitely I would go to, if you're interested in keeping up with the efforts of the California chapter, what they're doing right now is nothing short of heroic. They are pushing back this tide one lawsuit at a time. And that is the way to do it. Yeah. The courts are the last bastion.
I certainly would endorse that as we finish up with an amazing interview with Sophia Karstens. Thank you for coming on the, it's kind of the Peter Bregan Hour, I guess, but it's it's refounding America and reclaiming ourselves.
And when I lost my cohort at the beginning of this interview, but we'll
be back. We'll be back again. Thank you.